God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. We are a quiet bunch today. My goodness, you know. We got to stir this place up a little bit here. All right? You know, amen. Yeah. So let's start out with something wild. How about that? You know, glory to God. I love to start out with something wild occasionally, right? You know, and the wilder the better. You mentioned about pews. All right, everybody stand up. Can you do that for me? Can you stand up? Okay, and I want you to put your hand on the pew in front of you. All right, put your hand on the pew in front of you, and some of you that are kind of spaced out between pews, you're going to ask the Lord to anoint those pews, all right now, in the name of Jesus, okay? Start praying over it. Can you do that? Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, we're just lifting up these pews that they would be anointed of the Holy Spirit, that Father God, that whoever sits down in each one of them, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, they won't be able to get away from you. They will not be able to get away from the presence of Almighty God, that oh Lord God, that anointing of the Holy Spirit will rest on them. Oh Lord God, Lord, they'll be touched. Oh Lord God, oh smear it in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God, smear that anointing upon them. Oh, Lord, the life and the presence and the glory and the grace and the love of God will be received in the name of Jesus. Oh, now, if there's some pew that hadn't been touched, go touch that pew. Will you do that right now? If there's a pew that hadn't been touched in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. You know, you had mentioned about pews, and then I thought about a conversation of somebody, you know, and I won't get into all of that. I don't know what's wrong with people. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, that church has got pews? You got pews? You know, you bet we do. You know, and now they're anointed of the Lord, right? Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to God. Let's go to the Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, a faith that sees you through. This is what the Lord has put upon my heart, is a faith that sees you through. And in my opinion, we put so much on ourselves as the being in faith and acting in faith, the responsibility. Yes, we do make the decision that we're going to believe God. But I want you to know that when you make the decision that you're going to believe God, He didn't leave you hanging out there by yourself. It's not a willpower thing. It's not a mind over matter. It's more than a positiveness or a positive thinking. I want you to understand that faith is not positive. Faith is not positive. Faith is hopeful. And if you want to get from a biblical standpoint, that's how the Bible talks about faith, is that it is hopeful. And, you know, and its hope is in a living faith and a living hope in Almighty God. It's alive and it's moving. It's not a concept. It brings the life and the glory and the power of Almighty God. This is the faith of the Lord. You know, yes, we do choose the way of faith, and we continue to choose the way of faith, but I want you to know that as we choose the way of faith, God meets you there so that you're found in faith. He will bring you the provisions that you need. All right, so let's get started here. I want to look at Scripture, and we're going to look starting with Hebrews chapter 11. I know that verse 1 is a very, very popular, well-known verse of Scripture. I'm sure you've studied it many times. But we're going to look here, and we're going to define faith as we begin and understand it. We're understand just exactly what is this verse saying. This is in Hebrews chapter 11, and it's in verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance. Look at this. It is the assurance of things hoped for. I'll read it through. The conviction of things not seen. You know, I'm going to give these to you. It says in the NIV, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. I don't particularly care for that statement, the way it's made, to be honest with you. You know, because it's not a matter of just simply you being sure. Now, are you really sure of that? That kind of a connotation of kind of puts it on you. Are you sure? No, it's an assurance. The manifestation that comes is an assurance. And that manifestation is from the power of God. You know, I want you to know that even being found in faith, the Holy Spirit will bring provisions to you and me. He will bring provisions to you and me that we might find the power to be able to believe upon the Lord. Now, that's just me, and I don't care for the way it's stated, you know, but that's me. I'm going to read it now in the King James. It says, now faith is the substance. I know that you're familiar with that, is the substance of things hoped for. And then it says, the evidence of things not seen. Well, let's go back to this again, and I want to look at this word. The word faith right here is the word pistis. That's P-I-S-T-I-S. It just simply means to believe, or it means faith. Its root word is pithio, and that is P-E-I-T-H-O, accent on that O. And here's what pithio means. It means to be persuaded. It means to be convinced. And this is very interesting right here. It's also the statement to obey. Did you know that that's how that we become obedient to God? The way that we become obedient to God is not through willpower or not. It's not through discipline nor any other thing. I'm not saying we don't apply our will, but the way that we're found obedience is added to us as the blessing of believing. As you believe upon the Lord, you'll find something very mysteriously happening to you. You'll find the power to be able to believe God. When you begin to believe God to give you the victory over the things that you struggle, over the things that you've not been able to gain victory over in your life, when you begin to deal with the deep-rooted things, you know, as you walk on in the Lord, the Holy Spirit is going to bring up things that are deep down in your spirit man. Things that you might even say, well, I mean, that I've always seen myself like that. My family was like that, whatever it would be. The Holy Spirit digs out everything that doesn't look like Jesus. Everything that does not look like Jesus. And He's not looking for you to overcome it in your power and your strength. He will bring the provision. It will be the provision of the grace of God that will come into your life simply because you did one thing. Glory to God. You made a decision that you were going to believe God for that victory. And that's where the power comes from. And all those things that are of the impossible nature. And it's impossible for me to change. It's impossible. Sometimes I find myself in it and I'm doing it or whatever it would be or I whatever is going on. And then I realize that I'm there. That's the way things work many times. But you still have victory. You still have victory. And it comes by simply believing God for the victory. He's won the victory for you. The victory is yours. It's received by faith. Well, amen. That's why, you know, we don't ever learn how to live with it. We don't ever, but I tell you, the devil's got you defeated when you walk into that one right there. When you begin to justify anything in your walk or your life or character and character, He changes character too. Our character or nature or whatever it would be. And you say, well, oh, that's just the way that I am. That is a cop-out. That is all that is. It's nothing more than a cop-out. And an unwillingness to let the Spirit of God deal with every realm of your being. You let Him have His way. You let Him deal with all those deep-rooted things. And you watch the glory that comes your way. You'll find yourself getting closer to God. You'll find something happening to you. You'll find a knowledge of God. You'll find a presence of God that you know things that come in the power of the Holy Spirit. And giving up being like that and letting the Lord have His way was all more than worth it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know sometimes it's a scary thing to let God have His way. It really is. What is to become of me? You know, that's all I've known. I've always had those attitudes. Good Lord, who am I going to end up being? I'll tell you, do you want to know? Like Jesus. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. So that's what we find. You know, as we walk with the Lord, he does a deeper work here. You know, there's this obedience of God that comes. And also, Pithio also, it means convinced, persuaded. It means to trust. You know, and that is the root and the foundation of having faith. You know, that's where you're giving God something to work with. You're giving God something to work with in your life when you make the decision that you're going to trust Him. He will allow you to find yourself in places where it doesn't look clear as to what is the path that is before you. And He will not speak it to you. And you will ask God, oh, Lord God, just show me the way. Show me the way. Just show me what to do. Tell me what I'm to do. And Lord God, and I'll do it. You know, and He stays nothing but silent. He stays nothing but silent. And then we sit around and we just kind of bewildered. And then how the enemy wants to take advantage of all of that so that he can bring a subtle form of defeat or a subtle form of discouragement. Beware of every form of discouragement that comes into your life, for behind it are the powers of darkness. He'll throw cold water on the fire of God quicker than you can say jackrabbit when we allow those things to take place and they come into our heart. You know, sometimes the work of God, and I pray that you will hear this, that the work of God, okay, takes time. God doesn't do everything instantly, even healings. Okay, even healings, even deliverances, transformations and changes, even in answered prayers. He takes time. Will you give God time? Will you give Him time? And what are you going to do in the middle of it? What you're going to do is you're going to make the decision that you're going to trust Him. You may find or feel like that you do not even have the power to what we call believe Him or to stand in faith. But I want you to understand that you are walking in faith when you make the decision that you're going to trust Him. And when you trust Him, you are believing Him. You may be wrestling with bewilderment. You may be wrestling with conflicts. You may feel that you have disturbances in your soul, that you may feel like you're kind of like, you know, bewildered, disoriented spiritually. You know, there's a confidence that you had, but for some reason you can't find it. It's just not there at this particular point in time. And you feel miscombobulated. But you hadn't heard that one for a long time, right? Miscombobulated, all right? You know, and that's how you feel at that moment in time. Do not fear. Do not fear. Things are not the way they appear. The evil one always wants you and I to go on perception. We're done with perception. We walk by faith in the kingdom of God. That's where we walk now. We don't walk in perception. You know, that's why we have to trade in the mind of the natural man for the mind of the man of the spirit. You know, we're trade in the mind of the natural man. We don't walk in him anymore for the mind of the man of the spirit. For the mind of the man of the spirit sees things that only the Spirit of God can show that man. And perception is no longer master over you. Isn't that good? Oh, glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. So yes, that's the definition of what it means to believe or to have faith before God. Now there's something, as I want you to see something, that faith, it says there in verse 1, it says that now faith is the assurance. You know, that now there is the manifestation of the act of faith. There is the manifestation. How in the world, or where in the world, did that assurance come from? That assurance comes from God. You know, we believe upon the Lord according to His word, and then He brings witness of the act of faith within our heart, and He manifests that within us. And the way that He manifests that is that He gives us, by the witness of the Holy Spirit, assurance. That's faith. It didn't start there, though. All right? Now, will you look right here again? I mean, let's look at where faith started, because that's the byproduct of what you've already made the decision to do. Here's verse 1 again. It says, now faith is the assurance. It's the assurance of what? It's the assurance of things hoped for. Now, I want you to see that. You didn't start with assurance. You started with things that were hoped for. Now, let me give you that word. I've done this before. I know I'll do it a million times before it's all said and done. That word, that phrase, it's a phrase. Hoped for is a phrase. And the Greek word there is elpizo. E-L-P-I-Z-O. The accent is on that O. You know, and this is where this assurance comes. When you act here according to the word of the Lord, then what the Spirit of God does is that He brings a witness, or He brings the assurance of those things hoped for. Elpizo. Now that means this. It means an anticipation. It means to expect. It means expectation, to fix our hope, or to set your hope. You know, so do you see that where we get that assurance that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, where it starts is it starts in our expectation. This is how we act in faith before the Lord. Faith is not simply a biblical doctrine that you mentally adhere to. It's not something that is simply philosophical. Those people have no practical application of faith. There's a lot of Christians that do not even know how to have a practical application. Your faith has to be deeper. It has to be more than a concept or a doctrine that you adhere to. That's to have no faith at all. It's been the greatest deception that's ever worked in the church. Faith is a fundamental practice of heart and of mind. And that fundamental practice of heart and mind is an expectation. An expectation. Do you have expectancy in your heart? When you pray, do you have expectancy in your heart? And that's where we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, can we do mighty things in the name of Jesus and in the realm of the Spirit, that where things begin to change and transform, because we become effective warriors in the Lord Jesus Christ. We become warriors in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we take up the sword. How about being a soldier that goes to the front line and a warrior that doesn't have any weapons? And that's the way it is with a lot of believers. You know, and they do not know how to act before God. Now, what we do is that we walk in a practical application and manner of faith, which is that we walk in an expectation before Almighty God. You know, we take up the sword of the Spirit. You know, I'll tell you, we've talked about it before. Pray the word. It's the most effective prayer that you will ever pray. Pray the Word. Go through the Word and find the promises of God. Find those things that are given to you in the Lord and stand on them and believe on them and pray them back to God. Pray them back to God. And then also when you do that, and I've got a lot more to say about this at another time. You just can't do it at one time. Then receive what you ask God. Are you hearing me? Receive. You know, and that's the foundation of expectation. Now, the old evil one, you know, he's the accuser of the brethren, right? And so he wants to bring accusations against you. And he is going to challenge you every step that you seek to advance in the kingdom of God. And if you let him rob you, that's exactly what he will do. And he'll cause you to find yourself like you're doing nothing but spinning wheels in the mud. And you just stay in the same old place all of the time. And it's not the will of God whatsoever. You know, God is seeking to raise you and I higher and higher, higher than we ever really ever even dream as to how high that the Lord wants to raise us. And it's just a matter of, are we willing? It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to reach out in faith in a lot of these things, because the old evil one is planning on challenging you every step of the way. Oh, well, now who in the world do you think you are? I mean, like that, you know, you're thanking God for doing something. You're acting like God's already done it. You know, who do you think that you are? Oh, isn't that awful prideful of you? Huh? Oh, isn't that awful pride for you? You know, and on and on. If he can use ridicule and humiliation, you remember those words, that he will use ridicule and humiliation against you as much as he possibly can to get you to back down. It's a war. It's a war. Going forward is a war. You know, and you've got to take the ground. Are you with me there? You've got to reach out and you've got to be bold enough, and your confidence, your eyes are not on you. You're finding the promise of God. You're finding the will of God in the Word of God, because that is the will of God. Oh, what is the will of God? Well, get into the Word of the Lord and find out what it is. And then you'll have faith and confidence to be able to stand in it. Oh, what a mighty weapon it is when you begin to take the Word of the Lord and you begin to mix that with the living faith. I'm telling you right now, and you begin to stand in it, you begin to stand in it. Having done everything to stand firm, then stand therefore. Isn't that what the Word says? Now, the Lord's going to let you stand at times. You're going to wonder where God went. Because many times what he's doing, see, he's got a lot more in mind than simply giving you the answer. Okay? He'll give you the answer. He'll give you the blessing. But he's got a lot more in mind for you. His vision is greater than that. And one of his missions is to create a spirit of resolve. You can write that down. To give you a spirit of resolve. Because I tell you, when that happens on the inside of you, and that spirit of resolve comes in that stand, the evil one begins to quake in his boots. Because he's got an equipped warrior on his hands. For a lot of believers, all the devil's got to do is go, boo. And we run shivering for cover. Oh, Well, circumstances don't look favorable. Huh. Well, keep looking in the circumstance. Oh, give me a little hope. Give me a little hope. Little hope's not found out there. It's found in here. As the circumstance gets worse, I'm just so down in the dumps. Yeah, I'm just so down in the dumps. Well, get out of the dumps and begin to give praise and glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, the victory is on its way. Oh, it's just gotten worse. Glory, praise the name of the Lord. See, that's what the evil one does. Huh. Oh. He thinks he's going to sit there and be in resolve, does he? Does he think he's going to have resolve? Well, let me just challenge his resolve just a little bit. I'm going to say boo a little bit louder. Boo! And you know how he does that? Makes it look worse for a while. Huh? Oh, I'm praying. I'm praying. Oh, I'm praying. I'm asking God. Oh, and it's just getting worse. Where is your God now, little believer? Oh, where is your God now? Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, but the eyes of faith that come in the power of the Holy Spirit, because you walked after that expectation. Now listen, you believe in your heart. I don't have time to do all this, but you believe with your heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10, you believe with your heart, okay? And you confess with your mouth, all right? Now, faith is established by those two actions. Faith is established by those two actions. Number one is that you believe in your heart. What in the world does it mean to believe in your heart? Not with your intellect. Believing is not with your intellect. It's not with your mind. That's why faith is not positive thinking whatsoever. It's hopeful. It's hopeful. It's a living hope. And it flows out of the heart that affects the mind. It flows out of the heart that affects the mind. The mind of the natural man will now be dictated by the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Jesus. Now, you know, when these things happen, we have to wait on the Lord. And what we do is we believe upon God, because what is believing? Committing. I give myself. You know, like for example, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I give my heart to that statement of promise. And as I give my heart to it, right? That's how you believe upon the Lord. You give your heart. You've heard the statements before, you know. I mean, hey, come on, boys. You know, put your heart into it. What are you saying when you say that? Well, you know what happened. You know what happened. His heart just wasn't in it. His heart just wasn't in it. What does that mean? You understand, that's how you believe God. Is that you give, you know, you give. You want to stand in a promise? You have to give your heart to the promise, okay? You have to give your heart to the promise, all right? That's called believing upon the promise. And then right with it comes the confession of the promise. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. If you will not confess what you say that you believe upon, you cannot receive that which has been given or promised by God, because you're really willing to stand on it. You must speak the word of the Lord. You must release the word of the Lord. It establishes you right there in your faith as you speak forth the word of the Lord. You know, so this is how we believe upon God. It's not a mental exercise. It's not a feeling. It's not a perception. It is a fundamental activity that we take up in believing upon the Lord. And as we begin to expect, if you expect, then you will speak. If you expect, you will speak. And see, the old evil one's going to challenge you in that because you're standing on the promise of Almighty God. You're standing on the promise and integrity of the word of the Lord, that whose integrity is the righteous, holy blood of Jesus. That's the integrity of the promises of Almighty God. You know, but the evil one wants you to get off on perception. He wants you to get off on how it's perceived, how it feels, what you think about it, whatever it would be. And another one that we have to be acutely aware of is that we have to give ourselves wholeheartedly, and we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we're going to walk with him, standing, believing him, no matter what comes. Don't put a timetable on the Lord. Now, we all have a tendency to do that. You know, it's kind of an inner clock, right? And, you know, when we ask God to do something, we're going to believe God for it. And then somehow that eternal internal clock, you know, the deadline, the line we've put out for the Lord by when it ought to have already happened or been done, has already gone by. And then what happens? Then we have to, at that point, we deal with fear, we deal with anxiety, we deal with doubt, we deal with unbelief, we get all of this barrage of all this attack and everything else. What is the problem? The problem is that I've put a deadline on God as to when this ought to be done. You know, one person that I know that had got falsely accused, I won't get into all that because it's not worth all that, falsely accused, not the Justice Department, the justice system is not always just. Justice is with God. Okay, that's where justice is at, okay? And everybody's heart in the justice system is not always pure. Prosecutors are not always pure in their motives. Sometimes they're thinking about elections. Oh, yes, they are. Oh, yes, they are. Okay, sometimes they're thinking about elections. And this person was being falsely, really accused, you know, but it was a popular thing to indict over. And so they were indicted, and they were innocent, completely innocent, totally innocent. Hadn't even got a parking ticket in life, ever. Nor any other thing else. Now they're looking at 10 years in prison. That's pretty scary. And all they were in such an upheaval over everything, of course, you know, and believing God to intervene on their behalf to bring about true justice and to let things be known as they really are, and on. But it just kept going on and kept going on and kept going on and kept going on and kept going on. All these upheavals of faith, you know, all the fear, all the anxieties, all the sleepless nights and everything else that goes right around with all of that. And I said to that particular individual, I said, well, here's what you've got to do. You've got to get resolve in your heart that you're going to believe God and you're going to walk with God no matter what. And if God wants you to go to jail, then you're going to go to jail for Jesus. God doesn't want you to go to jail, but you're in your heart. You have to be willing that you're going to walk with God no matter what comes your way. God brought deliverance, but you know, before he brought the deliverance with that statement and with that action of heart, that Lord God, you know, I'm going to believe you and I'm going to walk with you. And no matter what comes, and if it means that they're going to take me away and they're going to put me in a jail cell, Lord God, I'm still going to believe you. I'm still going to walk with you. I'm still going to have my eyes upon you. I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to have trust in my heart, no matter what comes. And guess what? Peace came. Because they gave it to God. It didn't mean that they were going to do it as the will of God, but I don't know what God's going to do. Right? I bet you Joseph didn't know what things were going to happen to him as well. But God was glorified in the end, wasn't he? You know, Don't put conditions on God with your faith. Don't put conditions on God with your faith. You know, because the evil one will use all of those conditions against you. It's called the Lordship of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Yeah. You know, the Lord will, we don't like to hear stuff like this, you know. But you know, you're His, and you're His to glorify His name. That is the will of God. Receiving Jesus is not for the purpose that you might have a better life, although life will be better. Your purpose is to glorify His name. And the Lord will allow you to experience things in your life. And He's doing a multitude of things. Number one is that, yes, that resolve. You know what else He's doing? Oh, He's bringing you up to another level, the next level of faith and presence, power and glory in Him. That's what He's doing. He is purifying things out of our heart, our mind, and our ways, our will, and our actions that we sometimes think as little things, but He sees them as obstacles and hindrances to going to that next level, and He's going to remove them from you and I. You will be tried, and you will be tested. If you want to go on in the Lord, and He's going to try you anyway, you know, because you have given your heart to Him. You belong to Him now. You know, now, do you understand? You know, you may suffer through the midst of it. There may be difficulties going through the midst of it. It may be uncomfortable, but you know, number one is He doing a great work in you, but you know what else? Oh, there are people watching you. Isn't it amazing? Because the world loves the bellyache. Hey, it loves the bellyache, but they see you praising God. There's something different about this person over here. You know, I mean, I don't understand it. They don't seem to have bad days. I don't get it. You know, and they're going through, I heard that this and that is going on in their life, and they keep praising God and giving glory to God. And as you're doing that, oh, such wonderful refinement is going on in your heart and your life to bring you up to a different level than you've ever dwelt in Him before. But not only that, but there is a witness of reality of Jesus that is going out and touching other people's lives in ways that you never dreamed was happening. Because the Spirit of the Lord has been sent into the world to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you can be sure that's exactly what He's out doing. Will you be used of the Lord? Or is it all about your comfort? Because there's a gospel preached like that. It's all about your comfort. But it isn't about your comfort. It's about the glory of God. It's about taking as many souls with you to the kingdom of God as you possibly can. Your witness in Jesus is more important than your comfort. Your witness in Jesus is more important than your comfort. And He'll allow you to be uncomfortable, to let you be tested within yourself, and not only be tested within yourself, but to use you as a witness. A witness of the reality that this Jesus, He truly is Lord of all. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, just let me go through a couple more things here, and then we'll go from there. But I'm going to read on, and it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And then it says this, hoped for, elpazo, expectation. That's the beginning place. And then it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that brings this assurance. You know, so now you are found in faith. Are you with me? Now you're found in faith. You know, and the witness is the assurance. There's an assurance that comes that's kind of unexplainable, that comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you begin to hope for those things not seen, what things are that? Promise, the covenant of God, what we find in the word of the Lord, all of these things that of who God says that we are and what he will do, and we believe upon the Lord. You know, as we walk in expectation before Almighty God, the Spirit of the Lord begins to bring something manifested in our hearts. What is that? It's called assurance. 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 It's like having the assurance of your salvation. Do you have assurance of your salvation? You should have assurance that you know where you're going. You should have assurance in your heart that you're saved. Right? The Holy Spirit bears witness and he gives assurance. But that same assurance that you have about being saved, he will give you about promises of God as well. He'll give you about with promises of God. It comes, assurance comes as a witness. It comes as a knowledge. It comes as an understanding. It comes as a revelation. It can come as a revelation. It comes as an impression. But there's an inner knowledge that comes with the impression that you know is coming from God. You know that the impression is coming from God. Whatever it would be, a certainty that you feel, that you know, it goes stronger than a feeling. It's deep down in the heart. A strong conviction. It's a strong conviction. And in that strong conviction comes the ability to be able to stand before the Lord. And this is the impartation of the faith that God will bring to every one of us, no matter what we face tomorrow. No matter what happens, this is the faith that the Lord will bring, that he grants. All he needs is a little bit of cooperation on our part, to be honest with you. He just needs a little bit. You get out of your mind that, oh, I got to stand in faith. Oh, you know, and you feel the weightiness of the responsibility of being found in faith. No, that to me is a wrong concept of what it is to be found in faith. Faith is a joy. Not a burden. Faith is a joy, not a burden. Get rid of the burden of responsibility and let the Spirit of the Lord lift you up in the power of believing upon him. Hallelujah. Some things that the Lord had given me this morning. I'm going to pray something right now. Father, I want to thank you that, Lord God, that you bring a healing in our perspective and understanding about the way of faith. That right now we be released from a burden, a concept of a burden of believing. And when we need something so much, we need the fulfillment of an answer or a promise or whatever it would be, and we feel the intensity of responsibility and the burden of believing on God. And it brings such fear and anxiety into our heart, and it's not a joy at all. It's a labor that we're trying to perform. In the name of Jesus, wipe it out right now. In the name of Jesus, wipe it out. And Father, I want to thank you now that you're bringing forth the joy of being established in this faith that we've been called into. And I thank you, Lord God, for that impartation in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, Have your way. Have your way now in the name of Jesus. I'm going to release some words, and they're not really words, but they're graces of God. One or more are going to land on you. They're going to land on you and your faith before the Lord. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, may you release upon the people of God a greater, a brighter, a crisper, a clearer, a more vivid, a stronger living faith in Jesus' name. A greater, a brighter, a crisper, a clearer, a more vivid, a stronger living faith in Jesus' name. I'm going to make some proclamations that the Lord gave me. You have been called to stand out in the name of Jesus. You have been called to stand up in the name of Jesus. You are more than you think that you are. Let expectation thrive in your heart in Jesus' name. Let every and all corruptions to undermine the love of God being released within you be broken in the name of Jesus. Every instigation, every manifestation, every insinuation, all plots, plans, and attacks be broken in the name of Jesus. Let the destiny of God come forth that can never be defeated in Jesus' name. When I felt the Spirit of the Lord giving me those things right there, some of you, life's been hard. Seems like one obstacle after the other. Seems like the devil's been trying to kill you all your life. Seems like the devil's been trying to kill you all your life. He's been trying to rob you of that divine destiny. He's been trying to stop that which he could see that God wanted to do. Be broken. You've been beaten, battered, tossed, and dashed down, but no more in the name of Jesus. Let it be broken now in Jesus' name. That design, that plot to destroy is broken in the name of Jesus. May the impartation of grace and power and love be upon the people of God today in the mighty, holy, righteous name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you a little story. Then I'll let you go. I really felt that strong impression. The devil's been trying to kill you all your life. Okay? That's broken off of you in the name of Jesus. You know, I wasn't supposed to be. They induced labor in the seventh month. My mother had uremic poisoning. They were trying to save her. That was their point, was to save her. This was in the 50s. I weighed 4 pounds.